Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
Really a rough outing from Craig Kimbrough, but we've seen some of those rough outings before.
That's all you've seen as a Cub fan from Craig Kimbrough since he arrived last summer, about a year ago. And David Ross is exactly right. All's well that ends well, and you are in this sprint of a season, and you're 3-1, and you have a lot to feel good about. Your starting pitching has been strong and consistent. Your hitting has been obvious. Your offense has been explosive. Your bullpen stinks, and you cannot trust your closer. And when those two things are true, you have to address that immediately. You can't wait for Craig Kimbrough to find his confidence and the strike zone, by the way. Jeremy Jeffress is your new closer until further notice. That's the way I'd approach it.
Wow. Here's the thing. The fear with making that move is that you've lost this guy for the season. To me, it's shortened the hook. You let him go out there, but you don't let him get in that situation again. When he starts putting guys on base, that's when he comes out and you go to the other guy. I don't know that I would replace him right now. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I want another step.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
What the hell was that, David?
You're right. You
look at what happened last year. Even if he's better than that, he's got to be who he was before last year. That's what they paid for. He's under contract. He's not going anywhere. So you've got this guy. He's under contract next year. You've got to find a reason to like him. And I don't know that anybody is going to.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Alrighty, let's officially hit the panic button.
Morning, Mully.
Time to panic, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. You know, it's Wednesday. Happy hump day. We are going to get through today. I just hope at some point soon in the foreseeable future, the White Sox are watchable again, because that was disappointing. A very long day in Cleveland. I mean, it's easy enough to envision a long day in Cleveland, but the White Sox losing twice only made it seem longer.
Yeah, 1-4 now to start the season. Let me repeat that. 1-4 to start the season. What are they, a week away from absolute disaster? Is that it? Have we eliminated them yet, or are we going to wait a week?
Well, I think if you want to be technically accurate, we try to be as accurate as possible on this show every day. The White Sox are really 2.7 and 10.8 if in the standings, if you want to do the math. Which isn't good enough, okay? Let's just all agree on that. No matter what you look at in terms of numbers, here's what's interesting about looking at both sides of town and the teams and the Cubs and the White Sox. We went into this season a week ago with high expectations for the Sox and tempered enthusiasm for the Cubs based on what? Starting pitching. As much as anything, we talked about the depth of the White Sox rotation, and we talked about the concerns about the Cubs starters. And what has been the storyline in the first spin through the rotation for both teams? The Cubs have pitched. The White Sox stink. That's the difference.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. No, I mean, how about, Chris Bryant is not doing very well, and it doesn't matter. And the White Sox have this power lineup, and they can't score any runs. And Ricky's putting them together. I what does he do? Does he just throw names in a hat and pull them out? I mean, what the hell is he, what the hell is the guy doing? I honest to God, Nicky Delmonico batted cleanup yesterday.
Is he getting rewarded for like perfect attendance or something?
I think does it's. It seems to be.
I swear to God, Mully, that lineup came out at what 5:45 yesterday, whenever it was 6 o'clock. Yep. I was ready to go to bed. I didn't even want to watch the game. I saw Nicky Delmonico's name hitting cleanup, and I just wanted to just end it.
I texted a couple of friends to say that that Elvis used to throw a break through the TV when he saw Robert Goulet, and I'm ready to do that when I see Ricky's lineup. I was contemplating violence. It was just awful.
You're tapping into your inner Elvis. Did you also go for the cantaloupe ice cream?
I said, oh man, I need a cheeseburger. A fried bologna sandwich. I had a hard time with it. And why is it that when I'm Elvis, I'm like old jumpsuit Elvis. I'm never like young stud Elvis. It was
like Elvis on the couch, you know, you're sitting there and he can't get up.
I got three TVs going, man. Look at this. Yeah. I'm like Richard Nixon here. Listen, the White Sox will drive you insane. Period, end of story. It is a it's just been hugely disappointing. And I'm with you, Kevin. That the lineup, I mean, are you kidding?
What the hell are we doing?
I don't know. He must be confused about the names. He must think one guy's a different guy. I can't figure it out.
Well, Delmonico has been in every lineup.
I know.
5 games, 5 starts. That is not what we expected, and that was really – you can't really pin in this entire season on the fact that Mazzara has not been available. And you know, Madrigal is in Schaumburg, and boy, when they all get together, this is going to be fun to watch. Maybe that is true, but that's next year. You got to do something now, and I don't think you can pin it all on one guy. But, you know, Delmonico starting all 5 games a week ago at this time, nobody would have bought that.
All over the lineup, you know, play him, bat him second, bat him fourth, bat him wherever you want. And I don't know what you're doing. And honestly, if Nomar Mazzara is that important, then this is really not going as planned. But at least he's in Schaumburg now. He has arrived in Schaumburg, yesterday. So he's on the come. So hopefully you get him back if that's the missing piece. You know, here's the thing that I keep thinking, and this is what's kind of driving me crazy. Well, there's a lot of things driving me crazy about the Sox. But is Nicky the guy that gets shipped out when he's ready to come back? So if that's the case, why are you trying to get as many bats for him as possible? Well, what are you doing?
I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Adam Engel. Maybe it's Delmonico. I'm not sure. But, Mully, all these points are good ones, and they're valid. The bottom line, though, is that even in spite of everything that we just talked about in terms of the lineup construction, the disappointment, and Delmonico.
Yeah, the pitching's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, when Dylan Cease and Carlos Rodon go 6 innings combined and give up 9 runs, you're not going to win many games against anybody.
David, in every loss they have, and they're piling up, in every loss they've allowed at least a run in the first inning. And that's you know, they're giving up runs. And you know, we keep thinking they got the team of thumpers, they'll get the runs back. But guess what? You can't keep spotting teams' leads, and that's what they're doing. And it doesn't work.
Yep, Ricky Renteria missed Monday with a stuffy nose and a runny nose, and he went to work Tuesday and got a migraine headache. That was too much to watch. At least it was the Cubs. At least the Cubs were there.
The Cubs have been fantastic. They really have. You know, and I mean, we sit here and scratch our heads about Ricky. You know, kudos to David Ross, because he it's working, whatever he's doing. And I don't know that it's going to work all season, but boy, it sure is working right now.
And it also helps a manager look smarter again when you get the starting pitching. Alec Mills comes up big.
And Millsy!
Millsy! Millsy is worthy of a nickname after that performance. They spin through the rotation. I think their collective ERA as a starting staff was 1.8 the first time around, 1.80. Wow. Yeah. And Javi Baez last night kind of wakes up, and he was very low-key. He was 3-for-19 when he went to bat, and he doubled in the fifth. And then it's almost like when he eluded that tag, it was announcing, okay, Javi's back. That's Javi. You know, that was the play that gave them a 3-2 lead, and then he homers twice, makes a big play in the field. Javi Baez, that was one of those games where he just did what he did, and the Cubs needed it. But boy, they're having a lot of people play at a high level early.
Yeah, you know, you look at it and you say, well, the bullpen's kind of shaky, but it doesn't seem to matter because they're getting great pitching, and they've had, you know, we're how many games into the season? 5 games, 3 quality starts. And I thought that was one of those statistics we had agreed we were going to retire for this particular season because of the restart and because of the short summer camp. And we just weren't expecting 3 quality starts from any team. And here you go, 3 in the first 5.
Here's what I like as much about the Cubs as anything is that they came ready to play from day one. And their starting rotation had 2 guys, and we'll talk to Tommy Hiddevy about this. I'm curious what he has to say. But Kyle Hendricks and Tyler Chatwood, they spent the pandemic, wherever they were, I think it was Arizona, getting ready for the season as if it was going to start sooner rather than later. And I think they were ahead of a lot of guys. And I don't get the sense of watching a lot of these pitchers that they spent a lot of time, you know, in their days off or months off, with the same sort of mindset. And the Cubs came ready to go from the beginning, and you're seeing the results of that so far.
We have Bears news as well, and David, it's not good news. Eddie Goldman has informed the team that he will be opting out due to health concerns related to COVID-19. So you lose your big run stuffer in the middle of that defense, in the middle of that defensive line. That's a blow. You know, and again, Eddie, we don't know. We don't have all the information in terms of why people choose to opt out. I have absolutely no problem with it. I said that I wouldn't have a problem with it. And even when it's painful to see, when you lose key figures, when you lose a guy who's an underrated player for the Bears because he's kind of an essential a quality to have in the middle of that defense. But We've made a vow about it. It is his right, and I'm all for it. If that's the decision he's made, I don't think anyone should be second guessing it. But a blow to the Bears yesterday, losing Eddie Goldman.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise, and it definitely is a blow to their defensive interior. But you look around the league, Mully, and what you just described is the attitude everybody I think has to adopt, and that's a good one. And you see the Patriots losing like 6 guys.
Yeah,
you see the Packers, Devin Funchess, the receiver, is opting out.
Right.
And this is going to be something that teams didn't anticipate having to deal with. They're going to have to deal with it. And they're going to be hit hard in some position groups. Some players are going to, you know, their losses are going to be more than others. But this is the world we live in right now. And Eddie Goldman, his loss creates a void. It also gives them some flexibility with the salary cap. If you want to look at it from that perspective, he was expected to earn $4.75 million in base salary. And now I think walking away, doesn't he get $350,000 as sort of a stipend?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot to walk away from. I look forward to hearing him or hearing some of the reasons behind it. And you have to respect it, and it will be difficult to replace him.
Absolutely, on all accounts. I think, you know, for you know, number one, you think about the guy and you hope that you know, whatever the reasons are, that you know, they're all sorted out for him, right? You know, I'm sure that you don't make that decision lightly, and I don't know if he has people in his life that have underlying health concerns, if he does, but it's a right for him to do this, and God bless him, and we wish him well. It's also a very difficult position to replace. You know, he is a special player in that position because of his great athletic ability and the things that he can do that other players cannot do. So, you know, you have internal options, but not great ones. And externally, that's a position that there's not a lot of guys that are sitting around waiting for a job. So if they're going to move, they got to move real quick, and it's going to be costly. And again, I don't know that there is a really viable option. Certainly no one as good as Eddie Goldman, but listen, that's football. You know, you
all true.
10 yards and you keep going, man.
Yeah, all true. I think it's difficult to replace Eddie Goldman. Not impossible, not on that defense. And we'll get into it later, just some of the realities that the Bears now have to face with their depth chart and their coaching staff, because this is something you look at from a coaching perspective, and you lose a player and you still have a talented unit. You feel like you can scheme ways to kind of offset his absence if you have to. So there's a challenge now that didn't exist yesterday at this time, but the Bears are going to have to move forward. I don't think there's anybody out there. I think you're right. Snacks Harrison is a name that you hear, but we don't even know if he's going to play this season. We don't even know what kind of shape he's in.
Yep.
So they're just going to have to probably go a different direction.
Happy news, David. Happy news for you, for sure. David Hall must be delighted. The Blackhawks against the Blues tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Fishing game for your Blackhawks. Pretty good. 5 o'clock tonight.
It's about time to watch some hockey. I don't care if it means nothing.
No.
Getting back on the ice.
It means something. It always means something. It means you're warming up for, you know, you got a game here, and you're getting warmed up and getting ready to put a hat on those lousy, rotten, no good. We're trying to build up a little bit of hatred. Is it working? No.
Can you get hate in the bubble? Does that count? I mean, can you still have that sort of animosity?
There's animosity in the bubble. It's on the ice. But, I mean, first of all, there's animosity for the St. Louis Blues, okay? Let's start with that. But Edmonton, you know, they get a home game? Let's go. Come on.
Even more than animosity, I have curiosity. I want to see what Corey Crawford looks like. I want to see if the Hawks, who are the youngest team, did you see that? They're the youngest team left in the playoffs with 37-year-old Duncan Keith on the roster. I want to see how the old guys look skating with these young guys. And I am kind of excited to see how the Hawks look after taking this time off, and now they're going against the defending Stanley Cup champions.
All right, we're going to talk about it all. We've got the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Are the White Sox tanking for Trevor Lawrence? And does someone need to intercede with Ricky Renteria's lineups?
I hope so. I hope there's a plan here of some sort. I mean, listen, it'd be great to know that this was on purpose and that they understood that the future was going to be brighter than what we're looking at currently. Having said that, I really do think someone needs to tell Ricky to knock it off. I get the whole idea of going righty lefty and all that, but the lefty has to be able to hit. I don't know what the hell Ricky's doing. I would say first things first, you know, move Louis Robert up in the lineup. Period. End of story. I mean, I know you're trying to protect him, but you don't have many people that are doing much, so you need him. And you need to rely on him a little bit more. Settle in on a lineup and stop being cute about it. And I think that every time that a lineup is announced, you can look at it and talk about it. But there's been some ridiculous, just awful ideas. And I'm not trying to burn everybody up in the first week of the season, but I'm also not trying to go 1-5 or 1-4 or, you know, another week of this, and they really are eliminated. Someone said 12.7% of the season is gone already? I mean, yeah. Are you kidding me? What the hell is that? So wakey-wakey, Ricky. This is crazy. There's just someone has got to intercede.
You know, you don't go out in the off season and invest in sluggers and invest in offense. And yeah, you got your pitching, but you don't do that. So you bat Nicky Delmonico cleanup for game two of a doubleheader against the Indians when you have other options. How does Luis Robert, who everybody has raved about, and I tell you what, if I hear one more time about, you know, how great he is going to be, it's great. We love him. We get it. But you know what? The rest of your offense is not getting it done. Your lineup, if he's that good, why is he batting seventh? Why are you trying to bring him along as slowly as you are? If he is that good, if he is generationally good, put him fourth, put him fifth, put him sixth. Any lineup without Eloy Jimenez in it and Louis Robert is batting seventh is a bad lineup. What's wrong with James McCann? He was batting sixth. And I know we get triggered on this one thing, and you know, we are all sort of experts when it comes to lineup construction, and you have a Sox team that started 1-4 and expected so much more. But you deserve so much more. You deserve baseball common sense, and it tells you that you can't have Nicky Delmonico batting in front of Zach Collins and have a reasonable expectation to beat the Cleveland Indians in Cleveland. That doesn't make any sense. They need to have some answers, some consistency. You have other better options. Trevor Lawrence, heck, they could tank for Trevor Lawrence and bring him to Chicago, and he would probably be, they'd make him into a long reliever. I mean, that is how much confidence has dipped in the White Sox brain trust this first week.
Well, I'm very happy, in all seriousness, I'm very happy that Ricky Renteria tested negative for COVID-19, and we hope he's doing well. But I think we need to administer a drug test to Ricky Renteria, because only someone under the influence of crack cocaine would put Nicky Delmonico. First of all, the guy's got like more at bats and plate appearances than almost anybody on the
unbelievable
on the gosh darn roster,
and he's probably going to get cut. That's the thing.
Oh my God! We were talking before the show, Mully. Two baseball games yesterday. Well, two White Sox games. That's 6 hours of our lives, respectively, wow, that we are never going to get back. All the runners left on base.
Base is loaded twice.
Yeah. I mean, Louis Robert, as advertised, and he can barely even get up there because he's hitting sixth, seventh, eighth in the lineup. Starting pitching, probably the biggest thing so far. I mean, we put all this on Rick Renteria because, of course, the manager is going to take a big brunt of the criticism here. but the starting pitching's been abysmal. Besides Dallas Keuchel, not one of these guys has given you an opportunity to win. The first inning, I don't have the number here off the top of my head, but how many runs are they outscored in the first inning? You turn this gosh darn thing on, and it's over as soon as you put the game on. Yep. And then a lot of the guys in the offense, you know, Anderson had a big day yesterday. Moncada continues to hit the ball. You know, Louis Robert, we mentioned. Abreu's hitting .318. Guys are hitting. But when you were down, you know, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, before you even get to the second inning, you are not giving your team a chance to win at all. I'm not pulling the alarm quite yet. I'm very frustrated. I'm very upset. But they're 1-4, which is, what, 2.7 and 10.8 on the season right now. So about 3-11. They're off to a really crummy start. Another week of this, and we're already going to be looking toward football season. At least I will be. And that is a really, really a horrible thing to think about, given how long we waited for baseball, and this is just all crumbling all at once. It's not been fun. It has not been enjoyable for me.
Not fun. Frustrating.
If the White Sox are not tanking for Trevor Lawrence, it looks like they're tanking for something, because it's not been great. Rick Renteria's lineups have been unconventional. I'll be nice about it. I'll call them unconventional, right? But you only have one win to show for it. I mean, take game two. I think it's justifiable at this point for all of us to be lineupistas. What is Grandal doing sitting out? I mean, he could have been a designated hitter. I understand he caught in the first game, but maybe bat him at DH. There's so many different things we could complain about with these lineups, and we're only through four games here. Yeah, I would say somebody needs to intercede here, because, like I said, unconventional lineups, only one win to show for it, and you only have 60 games this season. So the scrutiny is justifiable. The lineup beastaying is justifiable. Somebody needs to talk to Ricky.
I think wakey, Ricky, I think that needs to be cut as a drop, and I think that kind of encompassed it, Mully, when you said that off the bat here. Wakey, Ricky. I watched a lot of White Sox baseball yesterday, especially the first game, because now the second game coincided with the Cubs. But, you know, was Moncada in a rush to shower between games? He looked like he had no, like, plan when he went up there with bases loaded. I mean, Abreu, I thought, even though he did hit a home run in game two, could have, like, gotten a night off, and maybe Grandal could have played first base. He didn't step up big yesterday in that first game. Now, there was some things with the strike zone, was a little questionable with the first game. And I get it. We're all over Ricky Renteria, and we talked about this before we knew that we were going to be delayed with the baseball season. This was going to be the riches, the spoil of riches the Sox had, that we were going to always be questioning Ricky's lineup. But that was assuming everybody was going to be healthy. And, oh my gosh, do they miss Eloy Jimenez? I mean, he's the guy who's got to play DH, because you can't possibly not have him in the lineup if he doesn't understand how to play left field. But where is Rick Hahn in all of this? Do Rick and Kenny not have a role? I can't believe that Rick and Kenny don't have a role in this daily lineup. As much as we like to say that Jed and Theo are always tinkering with the lineup, and that was what was going on, and that's what drove Madden nuts and blah, 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 blah. Does Rick have any say? I mean, what does Joel McEwing do for a living? Just nod his head? Whatever you say, Ricky. Whatever you say, Ricky. Whatever you say, Ricky.
I don't quite get the question.
Chris Bryant got the night off with what the Cubs called a minor elbow issue, but he also might have needed it after starting 1-for-17. How worried about Bryant should the Cubs be? Should they move him down in the order off the leadoff spot to see if the old KB returns? And could the new dad be distracted by all of the consternation over the spread of COVID-19?
Well, they're winning, so I think they don't need to overreact. I think if they're committed to him as a leadoff hitter, then I think they need to go through with this and continue it, because you have to give the guy who has proven himself to be a pretty reliable offensive player a chance to get acclimated. And it is a small sample size. He is 1-for-17. Probably needed the night off. The elbow soreness, his left elbow, he raises some concerns possibly. Same with his sore back. I think over the weekend when it talked about last week, him having some back soreness. You never like to hear that, but these guys are probably, you know, elevating their intensity quickly, and sometimes you get these minor little aches and pains when that happens. Look, Yelich has started 1-for-18. Chris Bryant's 1-for-17. That's not good. The only, I think, maybe bright spot from his statistics, you look at the numbers a little deeper. He did, through four games before his night off, lead major league hitters in pitches seen with 93. And he's a guy that has shown some, you know, his selectivity at the plate, trying to do what good leadoff hitters do. Is he trying too hard to adjust? We saw that with Schwarber. I don't know if you're going to see that with Bryant. But I do think that he has earned the confidence they expressed in him yesterday. It helps when you're 4-1, and it helps when you do get starting pitching that gives you a chance each and every game. And it helps when Javi Baez starts to look like Javi Baez again, so, and everyone else is hitting as well. So I think they're going to be patient with Chris Bryant, and I think they should be.
You know, I think that if Chris Bryant is going through a Nicky Delmonico stretch, then you need to be a little bit worried about it. What bothers me is obviously he's not a leadoff hitter, but they're hitting him at leadoff, and they have this plan, and that is just a position that has been sort of a boogeyman for them, right? I mean, since Dexter Fowler left, they've been trying to find someone to lead off, and it seems like forever, and it seems like this was some sort of a nuclear option that they were going with him and Rizzo. Maybe switch them around. Maybe go the other way with it. I don't know why people have struggled in that spot, but I don't think it's a great spot for Chris Bryant, and it's a big year for him. I think it's an interesting question. Should the new dad be distracted by all the consternation over the spread of COVID-19? I think a lot of people are, and with good reason, and I think Chris probably is as well. I mean, he seems like he's one of the few people that is masking up as much as he can. He seems like one of the people that have talked about the consternation he feels early in camp, and it's difficult when you have a newborn at home, or you have, I mean, it's just a difficult thing to deal with anyway. I mean, a joyous and wondrous and phenomenal thing to have happen, but it does change your life immensely. So maybe it's just a little bit too much change. Again, I don't know how severe any of the injuries are, whether the back, the elbow, whatever it might be, but you need him, and you need him before this too long. This is a guy that can carry a team. So I always thought it was wacky to move him up there, and he's a good soldier and all that. But yeah, I would try to do something to get him going again and to take some of the pressure off him.
Well, he got the day off, you know, maybe that'll do something. Sometimes a player gets benched for a game, clear their mind, just kind of chill out on the bench for a night, come back and have a clean slate. And I'm not really worried about Chris Bryant offensively or anything like that. You know, probably got a lot on his mind, like you guys have been saying. I think everybody's got a lot on their minds right now. We're kind of, you know, the Cubs are, what, 4-1 right now, and they've played the Brewers, who have won the division, I think, they didn't win it last year. Won a couple years ago. They've been in the playoffs for the last few years. Everybody was on the Reds coming into this season. The Cubs have handled them. And then after this, the Cubs have the Pirates and the Royals, I believe, a couple of crap teams. So the Cubs are off to a great start. It looks like they're going to go off to an even better start here. And the reason why is because of the starting pitching. It's the exact opposite of what we've seen with the White Sox. Every single one of these starters, besides Yu Darvish, has given the Cubs a great quality start and a chance to win. And that's been the name of the game so far. And that's going to be what carries any good team across these 60 games. If you get your starters in a hot stretch, then they're going to be able to carry you. The Cubs have a lot of issues in their bullpen and a couple guys struggling so far, but it hasn't mattered. So we have to manufacture a Chris Bryant take here and try to maybe pin something on him. I'm not worried about Chris Bryant whatsoever. I'd be much more worried about consistency, because that's been the one thing that's plagued the Cubs over the past few years, has been offensive consistency. And this year, I think the bullpen's a question mark as well. But so far, so good, and I have no concerns over Chris Bryant.
I don't either. I don't think the Cubs should be concerned about Bryant. History has shown you Chris Bryant will eventually find his way, and I'm a little relieved. I've noticed, you know, up at the plate, Chris Bryant hasn't been looking like himself, and now we've learned there's a minor elbow issue. There's the answer. Maybe the day off will help. I don't think it would be a bad idea to bump him down in the order a bit. You have the greatest leadoff hitter of all time, Anthony Rizzo. I know he only got one hit yesterday, but he's had a nice start to the season for himself. Keep Rizzo at the top of the lineup for a few games. Move Bryant down. Maybe let him get hot, and then maybe you can bring him back up when he finds himself at the plate again. I think COVID-19 is a concern for Bryant, as it is for all players. So I think he'll eventually get it together at the plate.
Was COVID-19 around at the end of the 2019 MLB season when Chris Bryant doesn't do anything in the clutch? I mean, okay, now I get it, sure. And David Ross knows him as well as anybody does. So if that's what you did is you say, air quotes, he's got an elbow. He's got an elbow. Okay, go ahead and sit him down for a day. Maybe you bat. Talk about lineup, Easto. Where are you going to drop Chris Bryant into the lineup? You going to put him six? You going to move Hayward up a notch? You going to move Ian Happ up to two and behind Rizzo? I mean, where exactly, if we're dropping Chris Bryant in the lineup, where are we putting him?
Third.
And again, if Chris, third, he's third in the lineup now, okay. What about Baez? What about Rizzo, Schwarber? Here's the thing. This guy is not looking like a $350-plus million fully guaranteed 6-7 year deal right now. So he's got to get it together. He is a very good mechanical baseball player, but he does everything so boringly compared to others on the Cubs. See Wilson Contreras, see Javi Baez, see Schwarber, even
so boring.
So boring.
I'm not done yet. I'm gonna finish this question.
Are you okay with Eddie Goldman opting out of the 2020 NFL season due to concerns about COVID-19? How much will his absence damage the Bears' defense?
Yeah, I've been saying this, and I mean it sincerely, that anybody that decides to opt out has got my support. I have no problem with it. I think it's a personal decision that some people have to make, and I don't need them to stand up there and explain to me exactly why. I think that... if you're any kind of thinking human, you understand why, and I have no problem with it whatsoever. It does damage the Bears' defense, and you do look around the league and wonder about different guys, and I agree, David, Snacks Harrison is the big name, obviously. He is available, Damon Harrison, because of the... of the fact that he had a one-year $11 million deal, I believe, last year with the Lions, and they went out and signed a defensive lineman by the name of Nick Williams from the Bears, and the Bears now are short at the position without question. They've got a couple of undrafted free agents, and they brought back Jenkins from Miami, so he's kind of the backup, but he's on a $1 million deal, I think, a one-year $1 million deal. That's not a ton of money. So how much does Snacks Harrison cost? You've got to figure out a way to make sure you have somebody that can help with the run stuffing on the inside of that line, and there are very few options. So I don't think you can trust any undrafted free agent to be able to step up and do that. And I don't know that they have anyone on the roster that you would trust to be a starter. So, and again, Stax Harrison might not be a legitimate option. You don't know what condition he is in. I would hope that if they were going to do anything, they would obviously look into it. But I'd have been on the phone with his agent already the minute I found this out, because you are short a man, and you do need to make sure that you kind of can stop the run. Now, Eddie Goldman could do more than that. You're not going to replace him, but how much does it cost you if you bring in a guy like Harrison, and is it worth it? You got to ask yourself those questions, but I don't know what else you do. I think you have to find another body there.
Eddie Goldman made the decision to opt out, and in this day and age, that's the end of the story. Time to move on. And you have to respect it. And I wish him well, and see you next year. That really is the only way to look at this. As from a football perspective, I also have a ton of respect for the kind of player he became. Soft-spoken, reliable, a guy that you maybe took for granted somewhat on that Bears defense. But let's not overstate this. And I think that we will in the next day, week, month, however. And I think the Bears have to be careful here and not, and Bears fans maybe, and not looking at this as a built-in excuse if the defense struggles. Eddie Goldman played in 48% of the snaps last year. And I want to make clear that I understand the value of stopping the run. And he is a good run stuffer. 48% of the snaps. The Bears were in nickel 62% of the time. I'm going to go through a really quick list here of guys who I consider indispensable or in terms of value on that Bears defense. Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, Robert Quinn, Eddie Goldman. That's the eighth name I mentioned. And I don't know many teams that are affected in the one-loss record necessarily by losing their eighth most valuable defender. He plays a role. He plays it very well. He's very important to that defense. He's not irreplaceable. I don't think he's indispensable. I think that you can talk about Eddie Goldman in the way that the Bears will miss him and believe that two things are true. He's a really good player. He's a really good defensive lineman. And the Bears are still going to have a dominant defense. Those two things can still be true. It can't be a built-in excuse. You wish him well, but they've got to move on.
Yeah, respect the decision. Wish him well. See him next year, hopefully. And, he's been one of the rare good Ryan Pace draft picks, and that's what it's come down to when we evaluate Ryan Pace's draft picks. The good ones are outweighed by the bad ones. But Goldman has been kind of an unsung hero, I guess, for lack of a better term, on this defense, a really important player for them. So it's going to hurt on the field, obviously, but it's just, you're going to see a lot of this. And whether it's Michael Kopech or Buster Posey or, 12 guys on the Patriots or Eddie Goldman, you have to respect the decision that these guys are making to opt out if they do so. And it's just going to be next man up. And the Bears are having to deal with this. A lot of teams are going to have to deal with this. It's just going to be a test of depth and being able to replace any given player that is not going to be there. So I think I agree with you, David. The defense is still going to be good. This is a blow, but they have so much, other talent on that defense, in particular the front seven, that I think that they're going to be able to move on even without Eddie Goldman. But yeah, you wish him well and respect the decision.
Yes, I'm okay with Eddie Goldman and any player who puts the health of their family and themselves first and decides to sit the season out. So I'm okay with it. In terms of his absence, Danny Trevathan called Goldman an inside linebacker's best friend. He is an elite run stopper. Anytime you're missing an elite player, it's going to be a pretty big blow. But as Kevin just pointed out, this is a defense with a lot of depth. I think they'll be okay, but he will be missed.
Boy, oh boy, I got to tell you, I'm with Mully, and we have to respect this, and I want to take that course, but this is going to be the first test as a fan of the Bears if this doesn't work out. I hope David's right. I hope David is saying that Eddie's good but replaceable. I think the guy, Snack Harrison, I love that name. That sounds like a lot of fun for us moving into the season. Can have some fun with that. I hope he is replaceable, because if he's not replaceable, I think, if all of a sudden the ball is getting run right down the Bears' throat, right up the middle, up the gut. But again, the NFL nowadays, nobody likes to take what's obvious and easy, so they probably wouldn't do that. But if the Bears are losing games because of what's going on in the middle of that defense, I might be a little ticked off.
That is an unbelievably great question.
What do you think of MLB postponing the Miami Marlins' next six games? If the playoffs come down to winning percentage, are you okay with that?
I think we have to be. I think that it makes sense. They probably planned for having some irregularity. These reports coming out about how the Marlins might have contracted this or passed it on are a bit disturbing. I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. The bottom line is they've tried to contain this. You find some sense of encouragement in the fact that MLB released the numbers that since Friday, 6,400 other tests, there have been no other positive results for on-field personnel other than what happened with the Marlins. So it does make you very curious. They had to do something. They had to make these alterations to the schedule to make it safe for everybody else. If I were a player, I'd be very concerned. My anxiety would be heightened by this development. There's no question about it. So you look at the fact that they don't have to play 60 games necessarily to have you know, a whole season or a complete season, however you want to term it. They're going to look at playoff percentage, winning percentage in terms of a playoff ranking and seeding and things like that. That makes a lot of sense to me. I just think the focus now needs to be on the health and safety and getting the protocols in place so that, you know, there can be, you know, progress and not every team is worried about the next time this happens because you fear that it will happen again. I'm not going to get caught up on the fact that, you know, I think Elias said that there's never been a time or a team that played five or fewer games than everybody else in a season. This is an unusual, unprecedented season as we have established. I'm more concerned with necessarily how this happened, what they do next. And I do wonder, in the back of my mind, would the approach have been different if there were, you know, 17 members of the Yankees traveling party or the Dodgers traveling party or the Cubs or a team that was more competitive and high profile than the Marlins? And would the approach by Rob Manfred have been different? We'll never know. Let's hope we don't have to face it again.
Yeah, you know, I think it would have been different. I think they might have come up with a different plan. I don't know what it would have been, but I think it would have been a much bigger story because this Marlins team, I mean, goodness gracious, if these stories are true, what Bob Nightingale was talking about, that these guys were partying in Atlanta, are you kidding me? That's how this whole thing has happened?
They just went for the wings.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you. I know that's funny as hell, Kevin. God bless you. But, boy, is this ugly if that is the case. I mean, it really makes you wonder about whether there was any priority to health and safety at all with these guys for the season. It just is disgusting. There's no way around it. And I don't know. I mean, you know, what else are you supposed to do? If it's not a franchise that anyone was expecting much out of, they've got they've had some really good players, but they're scattered around the league. And you look at where they are right now, and you say to yourself, "My God, if this was brought on by sort of self-infliction, then you've let down not just your team, not just this particular group, but my God, the entire league and the nation, everybody watching this.
America.
Yeah, you've let down America.
Is there a worse organization in pro sports than the Miami Marlins? Maybe the Washington football team, you can throw them up there. They're just about as inept with, you know, their scumbag owner that they've got. But the Marlins are just, you mentioned they had all these great players and they traded all of them. What did they get in return? You know, for trading Stanton and Yelich and all of their good players, why aren't they better yet? What are you trading for? Why are you trading these guys? You're not getting anything back. You're getting a bunch of morons that want to go out and party in the middle of a pandemic. This is just, I mean, just when you thought this franchise couldn't get any more pathetic, they find a way to double down on it. Just contract them already. You know, not only just remove them for this season, but remove them from Major League Baseball for all of eternity. Don't let Miami or anything in Florida, don't let anyone in Florida have any nice things. They don't deserve them. Let's get rid of Florida while we're at it, too. Florida, go away. Miami Marlins, go away. Just get the hell away from me and leave us alone.
MLB postponing the Marlins' next six games is a wise move. Maybe it should be more. Maybe Kevin's right. Maybe dismiss them for the season. If it comes down to winning percentage, we have to be okay with that because we don't have a choice. We're just going to have to make do with what we have. We are lucky to have any baseball. So, yeah, I'm okay with winning percentages if it comes down to it.
Well, I can't wait to hear all the people that wanted to shut the entire Major League Baseball season down, shut all sports down because we had these cases happen with the Marlins. I thought something might be a little bit fishy, but I always think something a little bit fishy is going on with everything, of course. Been listening to the show.
Is that a Marlins pun?
Maybe. I'm glad you see. I'm glad you picked up what I was laying down there, Kevin. Way to reel it in.
Two for two.
You know, Derek Jeter owes gift baskets to everybody in Major League Baseball right now. Okay, and here's the thing about the winning percentage. Now, I don't usually watch a lot of MLS, and I learned not to watch MLS from Kevin and Mully, who don't like MLS because they're big EPL guys. But you know, they had an issue with a team, and what did they do? They just eliminated them. They shut them down and told them to get out. Leave, don't come back, we'll talk maybe about 2021. That's what you do with the Marlins. And then you say, well, wait a minute, what about the schedule? Well, the AL East and the NL East were playing the Marlinas. So they can play each other, figure it out. They don't just all get a bye because the Marlinas aren't around anymore. Figure it out, MLB. Do something. But let's, you know, let's tap the brakes, everybody that wanted to shut sports down because a bunch of jerks in Miami wanted to go out and hang out in Buckhead or whatever the hot spot is now in Atlanta. Maybe they went to the Varsity and got a chili cheese dog and some tater tots.
You give me another week of this White Sox baseball, I'll be clamoring for them to shut down MLB too. So let's not...
Statement game or must win tonight, Kevin? Statement game
all
or must win?
All of the above. All of the above.
He's right. It is really a statement game and a must win.
If Giolito looks like he did on last Friday, shut it all down.
That's what I'm saying. He has to win.
My last question for you is...
The Blackhawks open up with an exhibition against the St. Louis Blues tonight at 5 p.m. Do they deserve to be a part of this restart? And will Corey Crawford play against Edmonton?
Deserves got nothing to do with it. They're in it, right? And that's hockey, baby. So they belong in it because I think they bring something to the table, which is they are a very attractive franchise and one that holds some gravitas and helps make this league look better. So, yeah, they deserve to be in. I'm not gonna listen to that sort of conversation, for God's sake. They're the Blackhawks. So they do deserve to be in. If you want to honor your original six, let all the original six in, as far as I'm concerned. That's fine. Look, I think that when we start talking about the Blackhawks and their chances, Corey Crawford is a huge part of this because if he can be on his game, he gives them an advantage. So I don't know that he can be on his game. I don't know that he can turn it around as quickly as this. It's a big ask, but he's your guy. So I would say that it probably makes sense to try to make him a part of it, and here's hoping.
Yeah, they deserve to be in. This is the second season. They were the team that has earned the benefit of the doubt. They have talent. Corey Crawford, if he's in Edmonton, if he's north of the border, if he is there, he's playing. He's got to play. He's your best chance. He's maybe your only chance. And I'm excited to watch the Blackhawks. They're playing the Blues. They're going to figure out how fast they're skating, and they're going to figure out how far they have to go against the defending Stanley Cup champions. I felt a lot more excitement than before I saw Connor McDavid score two goals last night for the Oilers in their exhibition game against the Flames. He looks good. That's a dangerous team. And against a dangerous team, you need Corey Crawford between the pipes. So he is definitely, I think, going to play if he's up there.
Yeah, I think he's going to play as well, and I think they're going to need him. I don't care why or how the Blackhawks got back invited to the restart. It's probably just because they're a very popular team with a big fan base and a lot of stars, and it's going to attract more eyeballs than it would have had the Hawks not been there. So I don't care why they're there, but they're there. And they've got a shot if Crawford is going to be able to play and be at the top of his game. And, you just hope he can play against Edmonton, and you hope the Hawks can get off to a good start in this exhibition tonight.
Based on the way the Hawks were playing before sports ended, no, they don't deserve to be there. But, hey, you know what? My stance on sports during this pandemic has been do something different, try something out of the box, and that's what the NHL is doing. So I'm glad to see the Blackhawks are a part of this. If Corey Crawford travels to Edmonton, which he is, then he will play. I think he's going to will himself into it as long as he, you know, feels good enough. We don't know how bad the lingering effects will be of coronavirus, but hopefully he'll be playing.
Listen, three Stanley Cups, of course they deserve their be there. The Hawks are good for the NHL. Hawks are good for Chicago, so I'm all for it. I will at least give them 40 minutes of my time tonight before Cubs baseball is officially on the air.
Fair enough. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. You're listening to Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.